Thank you, Ricky. I can still say good morning. So good morning to you each. I am happy to be here, have this opportunity to preach to you today. I got a call from the pastor a couple days ago, and he kind of explained to me what was going to happen today. Well, we're going to have a baptism service in the morning, and it'll be followed by, you know, the hand of fellowship, and it's Donut Sunday. So there's a possibility we could get pushed back a little bit. And he told me, I don't want to make sure I don't cramp your style. Well, there's two aspects to that. Three aspects. First off, everything that has happened so far today fits perfectly with my sermon. Second off, I don't have any style. And third, I am a retired policeman, and donuts never cramp my style. It might give me a little extra energy, which might cramp your style a little bit if you got plans for this afternoon, but I hope not. But with that said, all I got to do is get this thing to work. Right, there we go. There's been some talk in a survey, in groups that I've met with, about doing better, reaching out to our youth. Alma's speaking to his son. He's trying to reach out to him. He wants him to learn about God while he's still in his youth, before he grows old, set in his ways, too late. You know, that kind of goes right along with what John was saying at the baptism. You know, he was trying to encourage the youth that have not made a decision. And if you're 75 years old and you haven't made a decision, he's talking to you, trying to reach out to them. And here he says, "Oh, remember my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God." Set this in your mind. Set this as a priority. Set this as something that you need to do. You have to make choices. There's a world of choices out there. So are you going to make those choices based on the commandments of God? You know, one of my favorite sermons is based on a very short verse. 22 words. Brother Smith has heard this sermon many times. He might even know where I'm going. 22 words. You know, when you're writing, you're trying to write something, they tell you, if you can condense as little as possible, take out every extra word, make only the best words in that context, it really helps get your message across. It makes it clear to the reader. And I see this verse, very short verse, and I think it clearly states a great truth about our God. This verse is great wisdom to us each, which we should learn and apply early in this life. So today, we're just going to dissect a 22-word verse. That's all we're going to do. It's broken down in three or four parts, and I'm going to start with the first part. Says, now the decrees of God are unalterable. This is found in Alma chapter 19, verse 71. It's on page 451 if you want a page number. I use it that much. I know the page number. It's the only thing I know the page number of. Now, the decrees of God are unalterable. First off, if we're going to dissect this, we got to know what a decree is. A decree usually comes from a king or somebody with authority. He's putting down a rule, a law, a order. These are God's. He says, God has set decrees upon this earth, upon his people, upon the world, every single person that walks upon this world, and they're unalterable. You know, these decrees that God has set, there are two things. There are spiritual laws and there are physical laws. And they're both unalterable. We cannot change them. So to get my point across, we're going to do a little experiment. And I have a little bag here of something special. But with this something special, is my portable mic working? We'll see. I'll step away. Yeah, it's still working. I need some volunteers. Kevin, you're a man of science. I would like you to volunteer. Thank you very much. Can you come on up here? Why don't you just bring your children with you? Should we get your father? Sure. Yeah, come on up, Father. What I need you to do, would you like to join us? Sure. Anyone else? Excited? I need you to line up down this row. You need to stay in the highest point of the ceiling. Make sure you're not under any lights or the projector, okay? Just stand up here. Cool. I have here a very special ball. You tell it's special, it's got a happy face on it. I need you to hold this ball in your hand. Close your hand tight. Don't let it go, okay? Tight. You know they say when you're working with animals or children or grandfathers, you got to be careful. You never know what's going to happen. Hold that tight. Got it? Don't drop it. Got it tight? Yep. All right. We got the man of science in the back. I got an extra ball. Anybody else? Don't want to leave anybody out. Come on up. Hold it tight. Okay. Now, you all under the high point of the ceiling? Hold your arm straight out with your hand like this, please. Now, if I ask you a question, what's going to happen when you open your hand? What are you going to tell me? Man of science, what are you going to tell me?
The ball's going to drop.
It's a special ball. It's still going to drop? Okay, Grandpa, you got it.
It's going to drop.
Any of you?
It's going to drop and then it's going to come to happen.
Anybody got a different opinion?
Depends on how you hold your hand.
Depends on how I hold your hand? Well, that's why I got you holding your hand this way. There's two options for that ball. Three options, I guess. It could stay there. It could go up to that high point of the ceiling. We'll have to get the ladder out, or it's going to drop. When I say go, when I count to three and say go, I want you to open your hand. Can you all do that? We all got the instructions? Hi. Ready? One, two, three, open. You're all right. They dropped. You pick up your balls and go back to your chairs. But then I got another question for you. Why? That's the question, is why? Why did they fall to the ground? Oh, the man of science got it. What is it?
Gravity.
Gravity. Took those balls directly to the ground. They were special balls. You know, you bounced real high and everything. I bought special balls, smiley faces, and they still fell to the ground. You know, it is a decree of God. We depend upon it every day, don't we? None of you are buckled into your pews because you're afraid you're going to float off. Now, you might have buckled in your car. I hope you buckled in the car, because if you got in an accident, another factor would take place and the momentum would keep you going and the car would come to a stop. It's another law of God. These are laws that we depended upon. Let me ask you this. Who invented gravity? Sir Isaac Newton? Did he invent it?
He discovered it.
You know, you remember the story? Here he is, he's sitting under an apple tree, reading a book, and an apple falls on his head. You know, he lived not that long ago. For all those years, nobody ever considered why an apple would fall on your head. But he did. So, no, he didn't invent gravity. God did. But he defined it. He defined it. And here is what he said. Yeah, cool, huh? So this is what God invented. And Sir Isaac Newton thought, hey, everybody needs to know this. Even though we all depend upon it. Even though every one of you knew that ball was going to fall to the floor. And of course, he gave explanation. Gave an explanation. You know, the F, force, attraction between the two bodies. G is a universal gravity constant. M sub, you know, it goes on and on and on, you know. Maybe a better formula, better equation would be N equals the need of man and G equals God. God created gravity for us, for our purpose, to help us live in this world. So every day when you see the sun come up, you go to bed and you depend upon the sun rising in the morning. Every day when you step out of your bed and you're not worried about floating to the ceiling. Every day that your heart beats, you know it's because God has placed his laws in motion. In fact, the Book of Mormon tells us that. It says, all things denote there is a God. All things. Everything around us. Yea, even the earth and all things that are upon the face of it. Yea, and its motion. Yea, and also all the planets which move in their regular form doth witness that there is a supreme creator. Everything. The moon controls the tides, it controls our seasons. If the sun wasn't here, you got up in the morning, there was no sun, you wouldn't be here. We'd all be frozen little blocks. Everything we see, everything around us denotes that there is a God. So equally, we believe, we trust, even the non-believers trust in these things that God said, I will make a law, I will put in motion, I will make perfect for mankind to live on this rock. No other rocks around here have us. They keep trying to find it so they can prove there's no God. But this place is perfectly designed for us because it is God's plan. He's done it for us. And it's unchangeable. It won't change. It doesn't change from day to day. But we need to consider the spiritual also. Alma 17, 69 through 70 tells us, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And wheresoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart, the things that move you, the things that you love of your heart, be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord. Ask him. Look for his advice. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest up in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto the Lord. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. It goes with what the words this morning were. We don't know when our last day is. It goes with the special song. We don't know when the last day is. But we can be lifted up in the Lord if we have lived a life to serve him. Just like we depend on the physical things, are we dependent upon the spiritual laws of God? Do they take priority? Do we trust them? Remember in thy youth, learn wisdom in thy youth. Do these things now, the things of God spiritually. I won't say are as much important. They're more important than the physical because they're eternal. They're eternal. But unlike the ball that dropped, which fell to the floor, faith, repentance, baptism, and enduring to the end, it doesn't just happen. Everybody was convinced. They opened their hand, it was going to fall to the floor. But those things spiritually don't just happen. We have to make them happen. We have to decide what's going to happen. Okay, I said the decrees of God never change. But there is an exception to that. There is an exception. It's not entirely true. The exception is that us, people, God gave us our free will, free to act for ourselves, free to make decisions, free to walk in the life that we want to walk in. He says, you won't be acted upon. Yeah, I know. Some of you might have been drugged here by your parents or your wife. I don't know. But for the most part, in this life, you have your free will. What you're going to think, what you're going to do, what your plan is, where you're going to go from here. But if we decide to do God's plan, we can have part of his plan of salvation, and we will not lose it. It tells us in this same scripture, Alma 17:71, says, therefore the way is prepared. God made a plan for his creation. He made a plan for you before we were ever created. There's a plan that is set in motion for eternal life. And God's plan was what? He sent his only son to this earth to give his life, to lay down his life, to die, to pay for when you didn't quite make the best of your choices. When you walked away, when you stumbled, when you erred. God made a plan for you to come right back to him through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of death. So what? So you don't have to die. The way is prepared that you can live forever. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everything that needs done has been done. But there's a clarifier in there, isn't there? You see it? It says, whosoever. That means some are not going to. But you have this opportunity. If you choose to believe in him, you will not perish. If you choose to follow him, you can have eternal life. God gave, meant he sent his son to this earth to live as a man, to suffer as a man, to love as a man. He loved life just like you do. He didn't want to face the pain. He didn't want to face death any more than you do. But he knew God's decree. He knew why he was sent here. He says, I will take that burden. I will do that. I will follow the plan of God. Not that he needed it, but because we need it. We need it. So he died willingly for the punishment of sin. So in our scripture in Alma 1971 says, that whosoever will. Now the decrees of God are unalterable, therefore the way is prepared that whosoever will. Those of you that are willing. Are you willing? You know, sometimes we think God's work is put on the shoulders of the ministry, the older people, somebody else. It's not. God is asking men, women, young, old, everybody to be a part of his plan, to walk in his ways, to do what he asks us to do. You ever think about it? You know, God came to Mary, said, hey, I'd like you to conceive by the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Son of God. Hey, she, like you, had a free will. What if she said no? Have you ever considered that? What if she said, no, I'm not going to do that. Uh-uh. That's going to cause problems for me. I don't want that. But she didn't say no. She said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll live the life that you want me to live. I will bear the burdens. I will love the joy. She gave birth to the Son of God. She watched him die, crucified for us. The way is prepared that whosoever will, those of you that choose to follow the God, to keep his laws, the decrees that he set before us. Remember we saw that? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, it keeps coming up, should not perish. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. I'm knocking. What happens when somebody knocks at your door? What comes to your mind? Somebody wants you to open the door and either talk to them buy something from them, or they're your friend and they're going to come into your house. He says, I stand at the door. If you open that door and you come, let me in, I will sup with you. We will eat together. And you don't have to open that door, do you? You can go run, hide in your bedroom. I know some of you have done that. Sure. I know who's out there. I'm not going to open that door. I'm going to avoid them. Again, a free choice. I'm knocking. Jesus Christ is knocking. Let me in. I want to come in. I want to sup with you. Interesting. If you open him in, he will come in and eat. You know, eating with someone is a very special time. It brings about closeness. It brings about fellowship. It brings unity. It's special. During the Civil War, the northern states were fighting the south. A lot of battles went along around here. It ended after a very big and deadly fight. But after it ended, there were still hard feelings. Hard feelings between the north and the south. Both sides, they had hard feelings towards each other. It was still a divided nation. And President Lincoln, he was trying to figure out a way to bring the nation back together. How can I bring us back to unity? How can I make us feel like we're one people? We are together again. And there was a lady named Sarah Hale. She wrote a letter to President Lincoln. And Sarah suggested a national celebration, a feast called Thanksgiving. People could come together and fellowship over food. You know, the president thought it was a good idea. He agreed to it. It's a good idea. I'll have people celebrate, come together. Food brought the North and the South back together. They unified them. They ate together and they became one. They became friendly. They became close together once again. One nation under God. That's what we were established as. Of course, this does not look like a Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving probably looks a little more like this today. Yeah, you know I'm right, don't you? But eating is an intimate activity that brings closeness. And Jesus offers to feast and share the closeness with us if we are willing to open the door. Let him in. Let him have place in our heart. But he stands there knocking. Let's continue in our verse. They may walk therein and be saved. Walk. If you're willing, if you understand that you can't change what God put in place, and you're willing to accept what he's prepared for you, and you walk therein, you can have salvation. But walk, what is that? It's an action word. It requires you to do something. You're just gonna say, okay, I accept Jesus Christ, now it's done. He says, you gotta walk there. You gotta make an effort to accomplish it. You got to follow his laws. You got to take those steps that he placed in order. All those steps that we've heard about today and saw today are a part of his laws, and they cannot be changed. He's not going to make an exception for your special issue. That's the thing today, people all over the world, well, God just doesn't understand us today. Well, yes, God created you. He understands everything about you today. He made a universal plan for every man. And the results, if you walk therein, is eternal salvation. I'm going to leave you with a thought. It's a good thing I prepared a short sermon today, isn't it? God must have known. I'm going to leave you with a thought. He's going to lay out these laws for you to learn wisdom and consider. And he commandeth all men that they must repent. It's a decree. All men must repent and be baptized. It's a decree. Baptized in his name. Having a perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel. It's a decree. You must believe it comes through Jesus Christ, or they cannot be saved into the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. It's a decree. Now, these are my words. What's it say? For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, is spoken. He's the one that's telling you this, not Brian, not Joseph Smith, not the Board of Publications. The Holy One of Israel has decreed these. It's every bit as true as that ball is going to drop to the floor, smiley face or not. Because it's a decree of God. Let's read it once again. Now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein, and the results, they will be saved. This is wisdom you should take with you. This is something you should never forget. This is something that if you can, it's very short, 22 words, memorize it. Think about it from day to day. Every time you put on a seatbelt in your car, every time you don't put on a seatbelt in your pew, every time you see the moon or the sun come up, remember those things were created by God. They're his decrees, and he has spiritual decrees that we depend upon to have eternal salvation. So my prayer is that you consider these things carefully. Understand these things. Study these things. Put your feet in the path and walk therein. May God bless you each. Thank you.